Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. God is unchangeable. God does not change. God's love does not change. His mercy is always available. There is never a question about God's character, as God is holy. That's good for us to keep in mind because God is omnipotent as King of all that is created. From time to time, God may choose to provide mercy or even bring punishment, but who God is does not change. When God decides something will happen, it will happen. When God decided that through Abraham a great nation would come, Abraham had a hard time believing it because he was already very old, as was Sarah. In Abraham's mind, he saw the promise being fulfilled through a household servant, Eliezer, but God told him he would father an heir. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Even though what Abraham thought was unlikely and just about impossible to happen, God did not change in what his plan was to happen. It's easy for us, looking back through the lens of the history of the Bible, to see the difference between what Abraham thought would happen and what God knew would happen. Abraham was trying to make sense of what God was telling him. And for people, we tend to respect the limitations of the human condition. We know there is a time to be born and a time to die, and there's a time when people have children and stop having children. When God wanted Abraham and Sarah to have a child, God was not limited by the human condition and did not need to change his mind. Abraham was 100 years old and his wife about 10 years younger when Isaac was born. By that age, people have had children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and probably great-great-grandchildren. The idea of having a child themselves was something hard to believe at first, but God did not change his mind to fit the understanding of Abraham and Sarah. Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. When Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery, his brothers thought they had gotten rid of a brother who they saw as spoiled, and Joseph went on to live a life that he could never have envisioned for himself, all while his father was mourning the loss of his youngest son. It was after Jacob died that Joseph's brothers came to realize that with their dad out of the way, there would be no reason to stop Joseph from taking revenge on them for what they had done to him. Seeking mercy from Joseph, The brothers bowed before him as servants, and Joseph asked them if he was in the place of God. Despite the incredible life that Joseph lived, he understood God did not change. The God he was taught to worship in his youth was the same God Joseph was speaking about to his brothers, knowing God does not change. He knew that what his brothers did for purposes of evil was allowed by God for a later good, to preserve the life of the people of Israel in a severe famine and drought. Joseph understood his life as fulfillment of God's will, and because God does not change, Joseph did not change what he would do regarding God's will. He made sure his family had food to eat. Genesis 50, verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Later on, it would be Balaam, a prophet of Moab, who would meet with Balak, king of Moab. Balak had hired Balaam to curse Israel, but instead Balaam blessed the Israelites as he was directed by God. Even a prophet of another nation knew God does not change. He knew enough about the God of Israel to know that what was said by God would be done. That's why when God told him to bless Israel, he blessed Israel, because the blessing would come by God to Israel with or without Balaam. Numbers 23, verse 13. And Balak said unto him, "Come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shall not see them all, and curse me them from thence." And he brought him into the field of Zophim to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, "Stand here by thy burnt offering, while I meet the Lord yonder." And the Lord met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, "Go again unto Balak, and say thus." And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, "Who hath the Lord spoken?" And he took up his parable and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. And he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, What hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey, and drink the blood of the slain. After God decided that David would be the next king of Israel, Saul thought he could somehow change God's mind. After the fact, when Saul had disobeyed God, fearing people more than God, Saul wanted to worship God, almost as if that would put in God's mind a change of heart to keep him as king. God is a God of mercy, but that mercy is extended to the limits of what God will allow. And once that limit was breached, God was no longer going to extend mercy to Saul. In choosing the people over God, Saul rejected God in favor of the people. And because Saul rejected God, God rejected Saul as being king. Even though Saul wanted God to change, God confirmed to him that he does not change. 1 Samuel 15, verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I've sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also, the strength of Israel will not lie down nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. And the confirmation that God does not change is given to us in the book of Malachi. In this book, we can see that in addition to the fact that God does not change, God expects his people to purify themselves, and God confirms that even though a punishment may be given, that does not forever mean a person would always be punished by God. Because God speaks of the offering of Judah and Jerusalem being once again pleasant to the Lord. When God states he does not change, it is in the context of the sons of Jacob not being consumed. Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Like God our Father, Jesus Christ does not change, and is described as being the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are warned not to be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. What is in the Bible is sufficient for us. We don't need theological theories and opinions instead of the Bible, nor do we need tradition. We are not saved by adherence to religious practices that go beyond what the Bible teaches. Today, we are saved like Christians throughout history have been saved, through grace. It was Jesus who lived and died for our sins. And we should not think it strange when we suffer reproach for the name of Jesus wherever we may live, because we all seek a new city, New Jerusalem. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. The Psalms show God does not change. We can see that although mankind can change from generation to generation, and that anything that is physical in nature has a finite existence, God is eternal and remains the same. Our hope to remain the same rests in eternal life. Psalm 102, verse 24. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my years. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. We can also read that God's word is settled in heaven forever. That means God does not change. Who God is today is not different than who God was when earth was first created. God is the same and does not change from generation to generation. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinance, for all are thy servants. In another psalm, we specifically see that God's mercy does not change. The praise and reverence of God that was appropriate long ago is still appropriate. Unlike people who start life as a baby, depending on parents for life, and who age and lose the strength of their adult life, God is unchanged and is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, who shows mercy today, is the same God who showed mercy long ago. Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that what we see on earth is physical. Seasons come and go, and the years quickly fly by. Looking back at life as an older person, while my childhood seems long ago, I remember it as if it were yesterday. Looking in a mirror is all I need to do to remind me that I am no longer the child I once was. We all get older from year to year, and as summer turns to autumn and then to winter, the grass withers, flowers fade, but God's word remains constant. In winter, few things may grow, but God's word is always in season. God and God's word stands forever. Isaiah 40, verse 6. The voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." God's mercy is always there. But God's mercy does not mean that God will not bring punishment to his people or reject him. When God brought the king of Babylon against Jerusalem, it was because his people there rejected him. They wanted all the blessings of God without needing to be concerned with God's expectations. Ezekiel 24, verse 1. Again, in the ninth year, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Son of man, write thee the name of the day, even of this same day, the king of Babylon set himself against Jerusalem this same day, and utter a parable unto the rebellious house, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, set on a pot, set it on, and also pour water into it. Gather the pieces thereof into it, even every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder, fill it with the choice bones. Take the choice of the flock, and burn also the bones under it, and make it boil well, and let them seethe the bones of it therein. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is therein, and whose scum is not gone out of it. Bring it out piece by piece, let no lot fall upon it. For her blood is in the midst of her. She set it upon the top of a rock. She poured it not upon the ground to cover it with dust, that it might cause fury to come up to take vengeance. I have set her blood upon the top of a rock, that it should not be covered. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the bloody city! I will even make the pile for fire great. Heap on wood, kindle the fire, consume the flesh, and spice it well, and let the bones be burned. Then set it upon the coals thereof, that the brass of it may be hot, and may burn, and that the filthiness of it may be molten in it, that the scum of it may be consumed. She hath wearied herself with lies, and her great scum went not forth out of her. Her scum shall be in the fire. In thy filthiness is lewdness, because I have purged thee, and thou wast not purged. Thou shalt not be purged from thy filthiness any more, till I have caused my fury to rest upon thee. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God. Physically, we are limited by our human existence. About this time last year, I went for a walk which included walking across a field in a nearby park. And in the course of that walk, I stepped in a depression in the park and slightly rolled my ankle, and immediately was reminded of my limitations within my human existence. My ankle became very sore with pain. And pain serves as a reminder of the limitations of our human existence. Since that moment in time, I've changed my walking habits and avoid treks through open fields to minimize encountering unexpected depressions because I want to avoid that type of pain. And also of importance, I want to avoid the financial pain of paying for medical care. Similarly, if we want to avoid punishment from God, we need to be doing what God expects of us. It's completely unreasonable to expect that we could do whatever we wanted to do contrary to what God would expect of us and not be punished by God. When God punishes, it serves as a reminder to those being punished that they are not doing what God expects, as much as pain serves as a reminder our body has been pushed beyond the limits of what our body can tolerate. With Jesus Christ, we can see in the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ does not change. God our Father never said to any angel that they would be his children, but he said that to Jesus Christ. He never said to any angel that they would have an eternal throne, but he said that to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who will rule forever, also does not change. What God has created will perish, but Jesus Christ will not. Even what the priests wear for clothes will have wear and tear with time, but God and Jesus Christ do not change. Hebrews 1, verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. And they shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. The blessings of God are given by God, who does not change. God does not give a blessing to one person and withholds a blessing from another person because God adjusts what is expected from person to person. We are all held to the same standard because God is calling each of us to be like the first fruit of his creation. James 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. When his disciples asked for signs of his return in the end time, Jesus showed his words would not change. What we know of the world around us and the universe surrounding our planet may change, but his words would remain without change. He told the disciples to be ready for his return because his return will happen at a time we do not know in advance. We need to remain vigilant and spiritually ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But on that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Waiting for the return of Jesus Christ can cause some to question the promise of the kingdom of God and eternal life. Whether Jesus Christ returns during our lifetime, or if we are resurrected from death at his return, the return of Jesus is timed to maximize the number of people who will come to repentance, showing God's mercy remains even when we might be impatient. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not double-minded, and we cannot be double-minded. Imagine how unpredictable things would be if God frequently changed his mind. Imagine how frustrating it would be to live your life following God's expectations, only to have God change those expectations. Imagine how hard it would be to remain faithful if God changed his expectations as much as we change the clothes we wear. God remains the same. God does not change. We have to become that way as well. We cannot live our lives one way to please the world, and then live our lives another way to please God. At all times, we need to be doing what God expects. We cannot be double-minded. James 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that he may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God does not change and is never led astray, nor can we be. Paul warned the Corinthians that if they accepted even a small change to what they knew, that it could result in a huge change in what they believed, and not necessarily for the good. He reminded them that Eve was deceived through subtle deceptions, and that we cannot allow ourselves to be tricked with any type of deception. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he cometh, preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Anyone could be deceived if they allow these subtle messages to impact their faith. What allows subtle messages to gain control of our faith? The reasons are as numerous as the sands of the sea. Boredom and complacency regarding faith are just two of many reasons. What we believe must be something more than just a set of beliefs like books on the shelf. Those beliefs must become who and what we are, and we must be led by the Holy Spirit. Knowing that Satan will try and deceive us until the very end can be overwhelming for some. We can take comfort knowing that God, who has begun this good work in us, will not simply abandon us because he gets bored with us. God will continue to work with us, and the Holy Spirit will be there to lead us until the return of Jesus Christ. God will not change his mind regarding us. And it is equally important we do not change our mind regarding God and Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God will not abandon us in the faith and will keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Knowing that God will never abandon us should relieve us of many of the worries common to people who have no faith. It should be easier for us to be happy in life when others seek happiness, contentment, or relaxation from a bottle. We seek happiness, contentment, and relaxation through God. When others feel pressed to the wall by the pressures of life, we know God is always there for us. That should lead us to be grateful for the presence of God in our life and to bring us incredible peace. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Just like Joseph, who knew that God worked out good from his brother's evil intent, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are also called according to God's purpose. Being people of faith who love God, who are also called according to his purpose, we should remember that no matter what life throws our way, God will make that work for good. We may not understand right away how good will come from what life throws our way, but that is what the Bible tells us. When God sent Jesus Christ to be the firstborn of many brethren, the disciples didn't fully understand at first why Jesus died, and it was almost too much for some of them to comprehend his resurrection. God worked incredible good from the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ because, for mankind, salvation was now available. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. God's love for us never changes. When God is for us, there is nothing and nobody that can be against us. When others condemn us for what we believe, we know those people do not determine our salvation. When Satan accuses us before God, we know it is not Satan who determines our salvation. Even when we are weak and sin, that does not determine our salvation. It is God who justifies us in the face of accusations, and it is through Jesus Christ we have a compassionate high priest who makes intercession for us. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In a world filled with hate, where simple differences among people can lead to alienation, we can take comfort knowing God does not change. We can take comfort that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can take comfort knowing that nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.